Wow. Yeah. So do you want me to give you a 5-minute warning?
Sure, that'd be great. That'd okay. be great. I'm going to do something a little bit different this evening, something that my teacher does occasionally. And considering the magnitude of what we're all practicing with this, today, I thought it would be a good time to do this. And what that is rather than provide a prepared talk, what I want to do is make up a talk with you. And the way that will work is I'd like you to suggest what it is that's at the edge of your practice right now. What are you working with? If you were to come to a Dharma talk today, what is it that you would want to hear about? And you could just put that in the chat box. And if you are unsure how to do that, you just go to participants, and then down at the very bottom of the screen on the right, there's a little icon for chat. Is that correct? Excuse me, no, that's raise hand. The chat is right in an icon for that. Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, the chat is just down at the bottom, and you just click it, and you can just send it to everybody or look up Paul's name.
Yeah, just everyone. And I'll take notes, and then I'll just take a few moments to kind of weave that through, and then we'll have a Dharma talk. What's been up for you, and how is this challenging your practice? Reconnect with kindness and compassion toward myself. Wow, these are great. I think everyone can see these. Move the dullness. Okay. Great. So I'm going to just take a moment and kind of weave these together a little bit. Okay. So I want to start with the question of staying with what's right now. So our practice is all about how do we stay present? How do we practice with what's right in front of us and acknowledge when we, when our minds and hearts go off to recollections of the past and plans for the future. And right now there's a lot of catastrophizing about how this is all going to turn out. Just as we started the meditation, it is incredibly beneficial to have a practice that you can come back to the body and the breath as a source of refuge, as a source of calmness. I find this practice of really making contact with the body and doing body scans as a really valuable way to continually come back to where we are right in the moment. You know, we talk about what we do when we sit on the cushion as practice. Well, what are we practicing for? The goal isn't to get to be a good meditator, as far as I know. And, you know, the teachers that I have, the people who have been my teachers, it's not to be a good meditator. It's to wake up. The goal is to be present right in this moment. Right now, the external world presents us with a whole lot to be afraid of. What would it be like to explore that fear? To be willing just to sit with it for a time. I remember quite clearly, many years ago, getting instruction about sitting with pain, and particularly if cross-legged on a cushion, the pain in a knee. And the suggestion was to see if you can be with it as long as possible. And then just when you think that, okay, this is all I can take, to see if you can go just to the count of three more and see what happens. As we sit with and be with what's happening for us now, what would it be like to just be able to stay present with that fear, with the thoughts of what's going on? But to do that wisely, one of the phrases that I often use, and I'm sure that I've said it at least once here, is it doesn't do anyone any good to get your boat swamped. And what I mean by that is I'm a lover of all things water, swimming, boating, so forth. And it doesn't help you or anyone else to stay with that fear to the point that you get swamped. As someone who has, shall we say, an off-again, on-again romance with intense experiences of anxiety, what I've learned is it doesn't help anyone for me to get so strung out that I can't be present. And I suggest at that point, it's very, very skillful to use the skills that we've developed in meditation to change our attention to something else, to change our attention to something that is life-giving. One of the things that has been incredibly helpful to me over these last 3 weeks is just spending a little time surfing on the web, looking for something humorous, and to see the funny things that people have come up with in this crazy time. The phone is ringing. This is how we work with the joys of Zoom meetings. So I apologize for that. To turn our attentions to our attention to things that bring us joy, things that reconnect us to a much bigger context. One of the things that is that I've kept coming back to is the fact that we're not alone by any means in terms of suffering through being with an epidemic or a pandemic. As Alan spoke last week, many of us are still in this experiencing or once again feeling the reverberations of the AIDS pandemic that many of us lived through. But as we look back through the history of our peoples, this is not a new thing. There are records of plague that go back for thousands of years, and we have written histories of the plague. As I was reading a little bit about this, I discovered that one of the last epidemics of plague was right here in San Francisco in the beginning of the 20th century, that was focused, first noted around Chinatown, and then spreading out from there over to the East Bay, and there was a whole epidemic. You can imagine the fear that people had with an epidemic that they didn't really understand and didn't have the medical advances that we do. I don't know if you remember seeing pictures of people in iron lungs from the polio epidemics. There's been so many. And in this, we are not alone. We're joined with millions and millions of other people who have also suffered and experienced the fear of epidemics, from smallpox, meningitis. I remember as a teenager, who knows for what reason, I somehow decided to mix peanut butter and banana, and I put it in the freezer. I thought, oh, that'd be a tasty little thing. And my mother went completely unhinged. I had no idea. You have to take that out. She became completely unhinged about it. Well, it turns out she grew up in New York City. It turns out when she was a girl, a teenager, there was a meningitis epidemic. And somehow, someone thought that it was because of frozen bananas that street vendors would sell. And that was it. You know, and it took this epidemic for me to remember that event and to see how that experience had reverberated through time with her. So one of the ways that that I've found is really has been very helpful to me, and I would invite you to explore on your own as well, and that is to look at this in a big context. So we are a specific episode in time of these many, many epidemics. What are the other big contexts that we can hold ourselves in? For me, one of the things that has been of enormous value is to look at pictures from the amazing telescopes that we have now, pictures of the universe, to see how big and broad this is and how we are held in this enormous universe. One of the questions was about reconnecting with kindness and compassion for ourselves and for others. One of the really valuable practices that the Buddha taught was the practice of metta, the practice of simply offering one's well wishes for oneself and one's other and others. Metta is, in my view, is mysteriously powerful. As one who's kind of focused in the world of science, there's a part of me that wants to pull metta apart. How does it work? Does it really work? So the fact that I have a thought, how can that really make a difference? And yet I've experienced it in phenomenal ways of softening my heart and seeing the impact of just offering my well wishes and concern to others who are struggling or in pain. So one of the questions was about discipline. And I'm really glad that that came up because it was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. It's very easy, given that our routines have been so severely interrupted, to get really lax and lazy in our practices. And I would strongly encourage you to, as my teacher says frequently, be ruthless with your practice. I know for myself, I'm in a single household with two other people. Finding a space and a time where I can separate myself and just have quiet has been a challenge. But it's critically important to practice. And not only with our formal meditation practice, but also with metta practice to help bring the sense of kindness and compassion to ourselves and to the world. Another big part of that is to experience, to see if you can generate within yourself a sense of gratitude. With this crisis, we see how we are so interconnected with each other that we are all within an arm's reach from each other.
5 minutes.
Thank you. We are so dependent and interconnected. I saw a YouTube video that brought me to tears that was a simple song of offering thanks to the frontline workers. And I've put it in the chat, and I'll send that in a few moments. Just for me, it was such a beautiful expression of gratitude and help open my heart to the gratitude that I have. I'm, you know, in many ways, my life circumstance, and I am guessing many of your life circumstances have been, this has been not so difficult on many of us who are already retired or who are able to work from home, who are likely not to have much, if any, disruption in our income, who have a sense of purpose to get up and do every day. This little video was enormous. It brought me an enormous sense of gratitude to the circumstances that I'm in. And then I want to just close with talking about gratitude a little bit. And I'm not talking about the practice of Dana. That's certainly important. But I would invite you in your formal practice to contemplate all of the areas in which you have been gifted. You have been given enormous gifts, whether that is through the family you were born into, your chosen family, the ability to have an education, the ability to walk, the health that you have. Gratitude is an enormous part of our practice together. So there's so much more here to talk about, and we're just about at that time. So I think I'll pass it back to Carl, and we can come to a close.
Paul, thank you. Thank you so much for that talk. Really appreciate it. So why don't we sit together for 1 minute as we bring this evening to a close, and we'll dedicate the merit of our time together with Metta. So let's sit. So may the merit that we have generated tonight by our meditation together and listening to